an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now, what's an apostle? There's a hint found in what Paul says here. Right after he identifies himself as an apostle, you have that hint. Paul, an apostle, sent. The word apostle means sent one. One who was sent. One who is sent as an emissary, as an ambassador, as a messenger, as a representative. One who has been sent is an apostle. Someone who goes to speak for the king, to proclaim for the governor, to speak the word of God, to make an announcement, to make a representation, to proclaim the word of God. One who is sent is an apostle. In this case, sent by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead, and all the members of God's family. So it's not just himself that he's talking about. He's not just the apostle, nor is he the only apostle, but it's he who is writing this, Paul, an apostle, a sent one, the emissary of God, the ambassador of God, the proclaimer of the gospel of God, and also those who are with him of God's family to the churches of Galatia. This is kind of like the from and to section in your email. From Paul at apostle.god to churches of Galatia at newtestamentchurch.org. Grace to you. Now here's the subject line. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you in peace. I've preached many times here on grace, on the meaning of grace, on the essence of grace, on what grace is and what grace is not. The Greek word here is charis, and it means the unmerited, unearned, undeserved, unearnable love and favor of God. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing that you can do to add to it. It simply is, and it is given freely by God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is the free, unmerited, unearned, undeserved love and favor of God. Now, in the church, we use different terms in our theology. We use the terms justice, and we use the terms mercy, and we use the terms grace. What is justice? Well, justice can be described as you driving your car, going 20 miles per hour above the speed limit, and a cop pulls you over and gives you a ticket. That's justice. You deserved, you merited, you earned that ticket. That's justice. We may not really want it. In fact, we don't. Certainly our insurance doesn't. But that's justice. What's mercy? Mercy is where you're speeding down the road, going 20 miles per hour above the speed limit, and the cop pulls you over and gives you a warning. He lets you off. He doesn't give you a ticket. You don't have to go to defensive driving school. You don't have to appear before the judge. You don't have to write that check. You get a warning. So what's grace? That's mercy. So what's grace? Grace is you're going 25 miles per hour above the speed limit in a school zone, and the cop pulls you over and gives you $100. That's grace. That's grace. Don't count on it, friends, from a cop, but that's grace. Justice, in other words, justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And grace is getting what you don't deserve. Did you get the essence of the difference there? Justice, getting what you deserve. Mercy, not getting what you deserve. And grace, getting what you don't deserve, what you don't merit, what you haven't earned. But my brothers and sisters, what we so desperately need. Justice is important. Mercy is important. Grace is essential. Because we can't earn it. We certainly don't deserve it. There's nothing we can do to add to it. But God gives it to us simply because God loves us and wants us to have it and knows that we need it. Can I get an amen? So, Paul begins this letter in the subject line by saying, grace to you. He just gives it to them. Wait a minute now. What if these Galatian Christians don't deserve it? Well, guess what? They don't. None of us do. That's the whole essence of grace. He just gives it to them free. Grace to you. Grace to you. And peace. The Greek word here is eirene. It means the end of againstness, the end of conflict, the end of division, the end of enmity, the end of strife, the end of division, the breaching of walls that divide, the filling up of valleys that divide, the bringing low of mountains that divide. This is all imagery, by the way, from the Advent season, where the coming of Jesus makes the valleys into plains and the mountains low. Peace brings the end of conflict, the end of againstness, the end of division, the end of strife with God and with each other. It brings full communion. It brings harmony. It brings the Hebrew word, the essence of shalom, into existence. It is the shalom of God, the peace of God. Not just the end of conflict. Not just the end of disagreement. Not just the suppression of strife. But true peace. One together. For the wall is not only broken down so that we can reach across and grasp hands, but where we then embrace one another, accepting the differences and celebrating the unity that we have in God. So grace, unearned, unmerited favor, and peace, the end of separation, the end of division, the end of againstness. We're no longer against God. Grace has made that possible. And God isn't against us because His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in the gift of ultimate eternal grace, has come to wipe away our sins. I'm getting ahead of myself. Grace to you in peace, Paul wrote to the Galatians. Grace to you in peace from God our Father. And from the Lord Jesus Christ. Quite frankly, with grace and peace, with unearned and unmerited favor, and the end of againstness from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't need anything else. We've got the full measure. We've got the blessing. We've got the presence of God in grace. And His presence assured in peace. What more do we need? Grace to you in peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. Now right there, a whole lot of people just love that part. You hear about it in churches all over the world. Who gave Himself for our sins. And it's a very important message. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus died to deliver us. Jesus died to wipe away that sin that separates us from God. In fact, the establishment of peace comes with the wiping away of sin. The establishment of peace, the breaking down of the barriers between us and God, comes with the wiping away of our sin, which Jesus did for us. Who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, usually people want to kind of rush through the Bible, and they go through it, and they hear certain things, but they miss other things. You hear the part about Jesus dying for our sins, who gave himself for our sins. We get that part. We hear that part. In the Western culture, that's the part that's important to us. But that's not the essence or the importance that's going to play the most important role. That's not the message that's going to play the most important role throughout the letter to the Galatians. It's the second part here. I mean, it's important because without the first part, you can't have the second part. But the second part that's important, it's the part we miss usually. Who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age. To set us free. Free from sin. Free from our past. Free from the shackles that bind. Free from fear. Free from bigotry. Free from oppression. Free from all of the evil of this present evil age. Now, some people have trouble with this idea of the present age being evil. I just watch the television, and I have no question that we live in a present evil age. Did you see the news from Great Britain a couple of weeks ago, or a week ago? This soldier is out on the street. He just left military base. And two guys come up to him with machetes. They attack him and they chop his head off on the streets of Great Britain. Present evil age. We hear about it in the shootings at schools, shootings on the street, murders in people's homes, wars and rumors of wars, the conflict in Syria, in Israel, in Lebanon, the murder of people in Libya and Egypt. A bunch of Christians are gathered for a funeral in Egypt, and they can't come out of the church because the church is being surrounded and rocks are being thrown and they're being shot at and snipered at when they come out of the building. And the police do nothing to stop it. Present evil age. My brothers and sisters, Jesus died to free us from this present evil age. In Christ Jesus, we are freed from that which oppresses us directly and from the rest of this present evil age that wants to hold us down, to drive us down, to silence us when we proclaim the good news. Grace to you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, who gave himself for our sins, to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will. And it's not just freedom for anything, friends. I mean, I'd love it to be freedom to do whatever I want to do, but it's no. Who sets us free from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He gets the glory. God gets the glory. Christ gets the glory. We live according to the will of God. We live the life that God calls us to live. We are freed from sin. We are freed from oppression. We are freed from this present evil age, from the violence and the separation and the division and the exclusion and the prejudice. We are freed to live according to the will of God our Father, to His glory. Amen. My friends, that's actually the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, really, that's it. If you wanted to distill down the message of Jesus, if you wanted to distill down the message of the early church, if you want to distill down the message of the New Testament church into one sentence, it would be this: grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's as simple as that. Now, applying it isn't simple. Living it can be difficult, especially in the face of this present evil age. It becomes easy to have spiritual amnesia and forget that we've been set free and forget that our sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. It's easy to stumble off course. It's easy to turn away from grace and think that's just far too simple a life. That's far too easy, and think it's got to be harder than it is. And that's what was happening in Galatia. Paul was followed in his ministry there by so-called apostles who came and told the Galatian Christians that, you know, this Paul fellow really isn't trustworthy. You shouldn't listen to what he says. You should beware of what he says because he wants to please you. He wants to make friends of you. He likes to be liked. He doesn't want to tell you the whole story. He doesn't want to give you the whole message. He won't give you the rest of the story. He only wants to talk about grace and peace and love and not about good works. And that's why Paul then continued in the letter, "I am astonished. I am amazed. I am perplexed that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." Oh. A different gospel? Gospel. It's a Middle English word. It's very German sounding. Actually has roots in Frisian. Gutspiel, the good news. Gospel is good news. The Greek word is euangelion. It was the message of the birth of the emperor or the king. It was the message in Greco-Roman culture of the birth of the emperor or the king. When the emperor or the king would be born, they would send out the euangelion. They would send out the good news. They would send out the message that the king has been born. And in the Christian faith, that's what we have. For example, the very beginning of the gospel with the birth of Jesus. We have the proclamation of the birth of the king of the universe. The euangelion, the gospel, the good news. The Galatians had heard the good news about salvation by grace through faith. The Galatians had heard the good news about Jesus' death for their sins and being set free from this present evil age to live according to the will of God. They had heard this message. They accepted this message. They were living by faith. And then Paul left, and along came other so-called apostles who had a different twist, had a different spin, had a different interpretation of the message. And they said, you got part of it, but you didn't get all of it. We'll look at that a little later on in a few weeks. Not that there is another gospel, however, but there are some who are confusing you, troubling you, and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. That's what's going on. Now, my friends, things haven't changed, have they? There are still people who want to pervert the gospel of Christ. We see and hear them all the time. You just have to turn on television, and frankly, you see them there all the time. The gospel of wealth, the gospel of works. There's a church in Topeka, Kansas, Westboro Baptist Church, that proclaims another gospel, a different gospel than Jesus Christ. A gospel of hate, a gospel of anger, a gospel of separation. In my opinion, a gospel of this present evil age. A gospel of, in my opinion, Satan. Because it preaches exclusion, division, anger, hatred, bigotry. They protest the funerals of children and soldiers and says that God hates people. Oh, no. Oh, no. The gospel tells me that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God so loved the world. No. No, there are so many who want to pervert the gospel of Christ. There are a whole lot of perverts out there, my brothers and sisters. They want to pervert the gospel of Christ. They want to change it. They want to twist it. That's what Paul was encountering. Though they were saying, you got a good message from Paul. You got the message of grace. You got the message of peace. You're now part of the family of God. Guess what? There are other things you've got to do. And what Paul says, if we are an angel of heaven, proclaim to you any other message than has been proclaimed unto you, let them be accursed. Now, the Greek word is anathema. Literally, it's a lot harder than accursed. Accursed cleans it up some. Literally, anathema means damned. In fact, it's a shocking statement, and Paul knew it was shocking. Paul knew it was shocking because he had to say it again. As I've said before, so now I'll repeat. If anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let that one be damned. Ooh. Wow, Paul, you're really being hard. Because the gospel of grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace and peace is so critical and so essential and so important and so non-negotiable that to pervert it at all is anathema to God. Let them be accursed. Even if it's an angel proclaiming to be from heaven or me myself, Paul says, we're accursed. If we preach a message other than the unearned, unmerited favor of God and peace with God and neighbor. Ooh. Wow. Well, you know, Paul, he preaches this message because he wants human approval. Am I seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I still trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Jane, it will be in your ministry very tempting to become a people pleaser. There's nothing more wonderful and gives you more warm fuzzies than to please the people. But if you're doing it and perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ, anathema. That's the challenge, and that's the danger, and my friends, that's the temptation that we all face in ministry. And not just those of us who wear vestments, but you too. All Christians face the danger and the temptation of pleasing people and perverting the gospel, bending to that other or different gospel, which isn't a gospel. It's not good news. We all have this calling. We all have the calling as apostles. Jane, when the bishop appoints you to Oak Haven United Methodist Church on Tuesday, when the appointments are read and they're what they call fixed, when that happens, you become their pastor. When that happens, you change. You become an apostle, a sent one. I'm going to tell you something. That change in the eyes of the church is really and truly already present in you. Because while the bishop appoints, the committee of ordained ministry approves, and that was fun, and when you go and serve, you are doing so not just with the authority of the bishop, not just with the authority of the committee on ordained ministry, not just with the education that you attained in seminary, Jane. You're doing so with the grace and peace of Jesus Christ, which calls you as an apostle, which enables you as a sent one of God to proclaim the good news, the gospel of grace and peace. Likewise, the congregation. When we as the Church of Jesus Christ proclaim the good news of Jesus, the grace and peace through word and deed, the grace and peace through hymn and prayer, the grace and peace through sacrament and service. When we do this, we become apostles, sent one. We enter into apostolic ministry and proclaim through all that we have and are the good news of Jesus for all. As we move through this summer, we're going to look occasionally at the letter to the Galatians and at the struggle that Paul had there with the Galatian Christians who were continually trying to be diverted into these other gospels, thinking God's grace wasn't sufficient, thinking they had to do it themselves, thinking there needed to be something added to the message. And my challenge to us is to not add to the message. My challenge to us is to make the message of Jesus Christ, the message of grace, the message of peace, the central focus of our faith, the central focus of our message, and then to go out and do what God calls us to do. There are some who want to make the gospel about being good people. There are some who want to make the gospel about doing good works. There are some who want to make the gospel about being inclusive. And all of those things are good. It's good to be good people. It's good to do good works. It's good to be inclusive. And those, I believe, do follow from grace and peace. But principally and foremost, we're to proclaim Jesus Christ and His grace and His peace for all. And from that message flows all that we do and all that we are. Let's hear that message. Live that message. Be the apostles of God, proclaim that message. And may all that we do be done to the glory of God the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.